This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
From the Top Fair Tire Studio, Felger and Mass here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5 The Sports Hub app, which you can find for free download on your iPhone and Android device. And if you haven't done that yet, come on, what are you waiting for? Especially with summer here, you're going to be traveling a bit. Take us with you wherever you go with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download that. And, of course, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. No Felger, no Mass yet again. So you get yours truly, Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair alongside Adam Jones, the sports vulture himself. A national treasure of negativity, as I often refer to him as. We are here with you on a re-entry Monday. You know, I said earlier, the promos could write themselves. You know, if this show ever became something somewhere, you know, it's gloom and doom in the afternoon. Jones and Murray.
What was that earlier?
Oh, the other one. Yeah,
get your cyanide ready.
After 4 hours of listening to them, you too would want to drink a cup of tainted Kool-Aid in Guyana. It's Jim and Jones. On 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's a dark reference, I realize. Before we get to your calls, a couple of Patriots-related things I wanted to touch on. This, I mean, it's... There really hasn't been much bubbling with the Pats over the last couple of weeks, other than the occasional Tom Brady Instagram post or him, like, you know, maybe nearly getting mauled by bears.
You saw a bear? Yeah, oh boy, yeah, that was fun. He played dodgeball with the whole family.
Dodgeball with the family, yeah. Just a regular, saw Hugh there, too.
Regular guy, yep.
Well, now, what about the chances of Rob Gronkowski still being traded? Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, saying teams, quote, still think he could be made available at some point. He goes on to write today at bostonsportsjournal.com. According to one AFC personnel executive, where's the restructure of Gronk's contract? That's right. That's a good point there, unnamed AFC personnel executive. Until that is done, I think Gronk is available. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick is going to test Gronk's buy-in with the contract. It's a good point by that unnamed AFC exec. I thought this was imminent. Didn't Jeff Howe of The Athletic, like a month and a half ago, after everything I thought was apparently solved, at least in terms of the parties with Belichick and Gronk, the team, he was back on board, that sounded like a contract was imminent any day now.
Yeah.
Still nothing.
Not the first one. You know, I thought this Brady one was imminent too, and now you can add Gronk to the list as well. Right. It was, they couldn't do it twice within a calendar year, so we had to get to a certain date from when Gronk got his pay bump last year or the incentives put into his deal, and then once we reached that point on the calendar, it was a foregone conclusion, Gronk would get a pay increase. And then, you know, now we're in, what, middle of July, early July, and we're still not there yet.
Well, we've seen these kind of things before. I mean, when Logan Mankins was moved, it was a bit of a shock. Obviously, Richard Seymour went late, almost right before the season started, and I remember that one, too. I was like, what's he doing?
Deion Branch in season.
So, look, I mean, precedent has been set before. Do you think that this is, this is just more about this being the slow time of year, or do you think Gronk could be moved?
Well, no, I think Bedard makes a good point in the story that this tends to be when guys get moved. Or, you know, I mean, late in training camp or late in the summer is when guys get moved. And you just illustrated that. Mankins, Branch, Richard Seymour. And Gronk completely fits the profile of the guy that has been moved by Bill Belichick in the past. Like, he starts to picture a situation without you, and then he can move on from you. It's something Bedard's written about before. What I thought was interesting was a line in there where Bedard writes that by waiting until after training camp starts for a possible trade, it just about eliminates any chance Brady would pull a power play and threaten retirement. He says there's little chance Brady would do that once training camp begins. If the Patriots traded Gronk before the draft, then that was a possibility. So, like, remember the Adam Kirkjian tweet? Bill wanted to trade Gronk, but then Brady flipped out and he went to Kraft and he threatened to retire, and Kraft went to Bill and said, you can't trade Gronk? That sounds to me like Bedard thinks there's something to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think he's right to think so. Bleh, that tweet was debunked. Bleh, what are you guys talking about? That wasn't real. And Brady was right to threaten retirement. But
like
this would be such a Machiavellian power play by Bill in that, okay, moves Gronk late. Brady's already there in camp.
You're stuck.
What, are you going to quit now? Yeah. Ha, gotcha. You know, so then maybe that's another thing that has this, you know, still in play here, especially if Gronk is, you know, still mentally off the reservation or whatever the hell is, you know, going on with him.
Make Brady think that Gronk is going to be here.
And then at the last minute,
trade him away.
Pulls the rug out from underneath him. Ha! Gotcha!
And then Brady's, you know, he's been salty in the past. He was pissed when they traded Branch. He grew out his beard.
Right, yeah.
As a sign of
protest.
Solidarity, as protest when Logan Mankins got dealt. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he would do with Gronk. I don't know. I don't know how you would protest that one or what solidarity there would be with Rob Gronkowski. But right, would Bill do that again? I mean, I believe it. I believe Bill would move on from Brady. Like, I still believe that.
I think that's what he wanted desperately
so
to do.
But I think if he'd move on from Brady, he'd move on from anyone. He's moved on from everyone over the years. So yeah, do I think he could still trade Gronk? Yeah, absolutely. You know, but I'm just an idiot talk radio host. Like, Bedard has some info. Bedard has some actual intel there, and it sounds like he thinks that.
Just quickly, because, you know, I'm in and out of my car at times when I'm listening to you at night, and I don't know if you've touched on this, because this was around the time last year when you got into it with Nick Cattles at the time about 19-0 talk.
Oh, yes.
And I don't do Gunner talk, and, you know, one of my favorite segments of your show at that time. We don't do Gunner talk, but your expectations were astronomical last year after all the moves that they made,
yep.
And, you know, rightfully so. I can understand it. Even though I hated that talk, they made so many moves, bringing in the likes of Stephon Gilmore and Coney Ealy. The defense looked like it was going to be all world. It felt like reading the back of the Herald in 2011, greatest team ever.
Yep.
What's your expectations for them this year?
So, barring something drastic, I want a little wiggle room on this. Like, if Bill and Brady and Gronk are all out there singing Kumbaya and they're all actually getting along and I believe it, I'll change my stance on this. But I think right now, the Patriots, their birthright has been the AFC Championship game. They've been there 7 years in a row, I think. I don't think they get back there for an eighth year in a row. I think they'll win their division. They'll probably win 10 games. Maybe you're playing on wild card weekend instead of getting the bye and then getting your tomato can and then automatically advancing to the AFC Championship game. I just believe that all this crap has to pile up at some point and they have to pay for it. Like, I believe that Bill wants everyone there at OTAs for a reason. He treats that as a time of year to get better, and your two best players skipped out on it. And then that fosters and breeds this whole attitude of, well, if they don't have to do it, why do I have to do it? And I think that that's tiered, by the way. I don't think guy number 53 on the roster looks at Brady and Gronk acting however they are, and then that guy says, oh, I can do it too. I think the next tier of guys, you know, your McCourties and your Hightowers say, well, if they're going to slack off, then I'm not going to bust my ass. And then the players below them, Trey Flowers and guys like that, they start to say, well, okay, well, Hightower and McCourty are going through the motions. I can go through the motions. Then your second-year players and your rookies, like, I think that can permeate an entire locker room. I think that's why Bill believes so strongly in Brady being out there and the best players being out there at OTAs. You need the buy-in at the top of the roster, so the middle and the bottom of the roster buy in. Bill Belichick believes in that. He believes in that strongly, and I think he believes in it for a reason. I think he knows that once those guys are buying in, it starts to permeate the rest of the team, infect the rest of the team, and I just don't think they're going to get as far as they've been in years past. So if the AFC Championship game is their birthright, Jim, I would not wager on them getting there this year.
So like 11-5 out on that second week, divisional playoffs.
Something like that. You know, they'll win the division. They're not worse than the Jets or the Dolphins or the Bills. They'll win the division. They'll win 10 or 11 games. And yeah, they might get bounced on divisional weekend instead of the AFC Championship game. By their standards, they're going to significantly underachieve, I think. And again, most teams in the league wish they had the Patriots standards, wish they had the Patriots success. I get that. But I just believe all this stuff is going to come home to roost. It has to.
Yeah, see, I think they're going to be able to compartmentalize with the nonsense they did it last year, up until Super Bowl 52.
I was going to say, did they, though?
Well,
they kind of did.
There were some cracks in the armor in certain games.
They almost lost
Buffalo,
to the Jaguars.
At Miami. Well, yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for Danny Amendola.
They almost lost to the Jaguars, and then they did lose to a backup quarterback in the Super Bowl.
But besides all of the noise and the nonsense and the palace queue, just from a personnel standpoint, what have they really done on defense? If Dante Hightower goes down, your linebackers are still... What? Oh, God. Like, look, Kyle Van Noy still here? Like, it's that? So I still think the defense is still going to be an issue. You don't have Edelman for the first four games. I don't think that'll trip them up too much. But beyond that, I don't really like the depth there. Who's Brady's left tackle? Do we know that yet? I know they have to go through camp, but as of right now, huh?
Well, the guy they drafted in the first round is lining up at guard, not
right.
at tackle.
Yeah, so it's like spin the wheel of an offensive lineman. We'll figure it out. Maybe it'll be Cannon. Maybe it won't be.
Adrian Waddle, you like him?
No, I don't. So even though, yes, AFC East stinks, best quarterback and coach combination currently and maybe of all time, at worst, they'll be 11-5, but I think for them getting back to the Super Bowl this year, I don't see it. And I also think the AFC, while still mostly kind of sucky, has gotten better a bit. If you want to add that to the conversation, have at it. You want to talk some Pats and Gronk and the fact that he still could be traded. Where's this contract I thought was going to be coming down the pipeline? It still hasn't happened. 617-779-0985. Right to you after this here on Felger and Mazz with Adam Jones and Jim Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is a re-entry Monday. There was no Mike and Tony again today, but they will be returning very shortly, I promise. So, once again, you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, here in the A-hole chair alongside Adam Jones, who's normally on nights here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Matt McCarthy is alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. One open phone line if you'd like to join us. Matt in Somerville, he wants to defend Marcus Smart. You were looking for these kind of callers earlier, Jones.
Yes,
go ahead,
please,
Matt.
Yes, please.
What's up, guys? I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle with Marcus Smart. To say he's just a hustle player is kind of diminishing who he is, and I'm going to quantify it by saying that he was second in the team in assists last season, led the team in assists the previous two seasons. He's a playmaker. He's not just a hustle guy.
So I actually will give you that. I actually think as a second unit point guard, as a guy who can run the offense, I actually think he's gotten a lot better in that. So I'll give you that. I think he can run the offense. He's usually pretty good on the pick and roll with it. Used to be Olynyk, now it's Horford. Like, there's a little bit of chemistry there. So I'll give him some of that.
Sure.
But that's not worth some of the contracts that are getting handed out. A second unit ball handler.
He's not going to get his money here, but he's a good player. And I also agree with the previous caller. They wouldn't have beat Milwaukee without him. And that's not just about him. That's about how thin they were with their roster. But he came back and helped them win. Milwaukee had momentum going. So, and I would add that Smart's a better player than Avery Bradley. And Avery Bradley just got $12 million. Smart's better than Bradley. Gets more assists, gets more rebounds, makes more plays.
Scores less, shoots worse. I would rather have Avery Bradley than Marcus Smart. But I couldn't disagree more with that Milwaukee Bucks thing. That's the second guy who said it. The home team won every game in that series. What did Marcus Smart do in that series? He came back. He came back and they won in Game 5, and everybody's like throwing a parade.
Right.
Then they went to Milwaukee and lost in Game 6. So what? He didn't help him in Game 6?
No, and he was awful. If I remember,
he was so bad.
Yeah, he was bad in Game 6 too.
They won the game because they were at home.
Maybe I'm putting too much in how poorly the Toronto Raptors fared against the Cavaliers again. But after the way that the East played out, I'm sure you'll disagree based on how you're talking about them. I actually thought, ultimately, we collectively didn't give the Bucks enough credit. I think that they were better than people actually thought in that first round.
Oh, well, that I don't think that's unfair. The Bucks might be a more talented team than I gave credit to, but like still, the home court was the deciding factor in that series. It wasn't Marcus Smart.
That's typically what it ends up happening in the NBA playoffs anyway. Still, it's not... Offensively, flawed player. We all know it, but it is weird. As much as I yell, and like many other people do yell, no Marcus, no, at their television or live at the Garden. He does have that knack for hitting those big threes, man. Like, you chuck up, you're like, what are you doing?
The ones that... No, like Game 7.
Right.
Well, we went 1-for-10. I had a good knack in that game.
They collectively got infected by, too many threes and not going to Tatum enough late in that game. Believe me, it was not just him. You know that. Look, I think he belongs here. He's not worth what he thinks he's worth, $16, $17 million, Zach Levine-type money. He's not. But I do think that the Celtics, should get this done with this player. But in some of the stuff, who had this earlier today? Might have been Himmelsbach, that this might not even get done until, September or October.
The qualifying offer?
Yeah. That's where, can we get this figured out a little bit earlier? Then I think you might be dealing with some leftover frustrations. And that would ultimately be on him, but... I don't know. I do think he is owed, considering how much he's put his body through for this team since he got drafted here, and everything, I think.
Yep. Knuckles through the picture frame. putting himself on the line. I did. That was Herculean, I thought, what he did there. That's true.
Jake in Andover on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Jake.
Jeez. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
So my thing is with Kyrie is, you know, and what you guys brought up earlier about the whole finding the next challenge and what Kyrie can do. I mean, I feel like he's been literally written the perfect story to be in Boston. I mean, he leaves LeBron. He's going to be his own story. So next year, let's see, Kyrie comes back from an injury. Okay, that's bonus. Okay, Kyrie leads the ragtag team of youngsters against the godly Golden State Warriors that King James himself couldn't defeat. I mean, I don't understand what else he really needs. He could literally write a book. He could have a new movie that's not Uncle Drew about him defeating the Golden State Warriors that King James, the guy who shadowed him for so long, who stole all of his ideas, his marketing ideas. Kyrie literally has the perfect golden road to ride here. And then, again, if he does that, he has the marketing here. 2 years from now, when Jimmy Butler's up from contract, if that's really what he wants...
Butler's up after this year.
I'm pretty sure... What's up?
Butler's up after this year. He's got a player option after this year, but he's up after this year. Yeah.
So then, what is it? Horford's up after this year, too, if I'm mistakenly wrong, right?
I think Horford's the same. Does Horford have a
player option?
Yeah, Horford has an option after this year, too,
yeah,
I think.
So,
yeah.
Again, that's a $32 million player. If they can move Horford, you have a big man in Baines, who they just signed. You have a big man in Robert Williams, who they just drafted. I'm pretty sure they could squeeze in Butler. So if you have this heroic fighting story of overcoming an injury and doing something that LeBron James couldn't, why wouldn't you stay here? I feel like that's so insane. And to say Boston's not a marketable city, I mean, it's literally the sports kingdom of the world right now.
Well, Jake, and thanks for the call on that. Outside of that, it's the best place for him to win going forward.
Yeah.
So that alone is the reason for Kyrie Irving to want to stay here and sign a long-term deal.
What if that's not his attitude?
Well, that's the thing. That's the concern. I think that's a legit concern. I think he just is a weirdo that he has other interests. He's already got one ring.
He's won.
Yeah.
So, all right, fine. I did that. I hit the big shot in Game 7. Like, I wasn't the guy on that team. Maybe that's something he wants to do eventually, but... Yeah, I wonder when he's out shooting movies and cutting singles if that is the main motivation for him.
And that to me is now a legit concern, because you could have it one way, staying here, because to me, I think it's fair to say, especially with LeBron out of the East now, it's like Golden State one, obviously, and then a drop off, but the Celtics too, you know, top to bottom in terms of the roster for next season.
Well, let's see what the Lakers do.
Yeah, he's, with LeBron's surrounded by a bunch of weirdos right now, even if they end up adding someone like Kawhi Leonard, I don't think that there's enough there for them to be the second best team in the league. I still think the Celtics roster top to bottom, I think you're going to see a leap still from Brown and Tatum. All that I'm saying, what does Kyrie really want? If you want to sign a long-term deal here, you have better chances of more championships and being looked at in history as one of the great point guards of all time. Or at least, you know, top 20, top 10. Or is it about being a multi-dimensional superstar who also makes movies? Yeah, you had some success in the NBA. You won one title. You're also a rapper. Like, it's starting to feel like, to me, it might be more of the latter. And that's scary to me as a Celtics fan.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let me ask you, and I don't know how much you want to extend to keep Kyrie Irving, but we've talked a lot, would you trade Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or at least there's a report out there, that Kyrie and Jimmy Butler are looking to play together. Would you be inclined to move Jaylen Brown for Jimmy Butler if that ensures that you keep both of them? Do you know what I mean? Like, if that ensures that you'd keep Kyrie and you'd get another wing who, you know, if Butler pans out, if Jaylen pans out, he's Jimmy Butler, like, would you do that?
If I'm really no Butler fan at all, but... If it was the wink, wink, nod, nod, yeah, handshake,
it,
yes.
It gets you to keep both.
Then yes, I would.
They want to play together. So I wonder if Danny is open to doing that. I think he should be open to doing that. I don't know if he is or not. I know he's lusted after Jimmy Butler in the past, but we'll see if he still does.
Michael in Easton, been hanging a bit. Appreciate it. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Michael.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Long time listener, first time caller, and just want to say you guys are absolutely fantastic at what you do. I love all my Boston sports teams, but I have a question for Big Jim Murray today.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I absolutely love your Hilltop Steakhouse T-shirt that you have on today.
Oh, sure. Thanks.
And I know the former chef. He's a very good friend of mine. And I was wondering if the shirt is for sale.
Oh, you know what? Email me, and I'll send you the link. A buddy of mine who does stand-up comedy in and around Boston, he actually sells a lot of like old nostalgia, you know, local nostalgia-based T-shirts, like TV38. I've worn that one before. That always gets a pop on Twitter. So email me, and I'll send you the link so he can buy it. You can get it in short sleeve. You can make a hoodie, a regular T-shirt, however the hell you want it.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's Big Jim Murray at 98.5thesportshub.com. So email me, and I'll get back to you.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Anytime, Michael. Man, that baked stuffed lobster pie that they used to have at the Hilltop, oh, what a treat that used to be. No breadcrumbs, because they'd always try to get you a little bit. They put more bread than the lobster meat in there, Jones. But, man, that baked stuffed lobster pie on a Sunday afternoon with the whole Murray clan, oh, those were some great days in the 80s.
That was heaven.
Yeah, it really was.
And then now what? Now look at you. Now 2-6 and just you know, sheer misery.
You know, just a chubby man with clogged arteries.
but those were the days. Those were the happiest times.
And they really were. Yes, that's why I'm rocking the Hilltop baseball type tee today. Shout out to the North Shore and Saugus Route 1 action. Hey, Matt McCarthy's going to get you caught up with the latest in the Hub headlines here, and back right to your phone calls here on a re-entry Monday. Felger and Maz with Adam Jones and Jim Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz on a re-entry Monday. No Tony and Mike, so you get Jones and Big Jim. Yeah.
Stuck with the Vulture today.
Yeah. Yes, once again, the guys are out, so you have us here. And one open phone line if you want to join us. It's 617-779-0985. It's been mostly Red Sox, baseball. Dan Shaughnessy's great call in the Boston Globe about what feels like a bit of a dying sport, or at least a lack of competition for the Red Sox. And how, you know, just countless dreg teams in the American League. When you've lost Shaughnessy, you've really got an issue. Well, you've lost Shaughnessy, you've lost Matt McCarthy, the host of the Hardcore Baseball podcast, which you should download on 98.5thesportshub.com. The sport's got a problem. So we've talked about that. Touched on the Patriots. Could Gronk still be traded? Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. His column talks, there was an unnamed AFC executive that believes that that still could be on the table because there's no new contract or any kind of extension for Rob Gronkowski, so maybe he could be dealt during training camp. There's that. And, of course, all the NBA stuff as well. Marcus Smart, hurt, disgusted, the lack of contact with Danny Ainge and the Celtics. Could Kyrie Irving end up going to the Knicks next summer? Your concerns there. And Robert Williams, he now has a handler. The first-round draft pick of the Celtics this year, just when the first week of work, has himself a handler. And I have to stand corrected, and I don't want to, you know, have this come off as like a sick joke. Lord knows I've done that before on this show, and I have fell on my face and nearly gotten fired for it. But it's fact here. I said nobody that I can remember in my lifetime has had the worst first week of work than Robert Williams of the Celtics. I forgot about Lynn Bias.
Yeah.
As I was had a few people tweet to me, so not trying to make a joke there, but yeah, that one's the all time worst.
That was a worse week.
Yeah.
But Williams has not bathed himself in glory here in the first, you know, week plus. He went from missing a conference call to missing a flight to now he's hurt.
Yeah.
And needs a babysitter.
And they got him a handler, which is, again, something, having worked in rock radio, I can tell you, they typically do for troubled rock stars. I said it earlier, I once saw the unfortunately departed Scott Weiland of Stone Temple Pilots then come in 2000, helping to promote the number 4 record. It's him, it's the guitarist. They were going to play a couple of songs for the morning show I was working on. And there was a giant man that was also there. I was like, well, who's this giant man? Do you work for the record label? You don't look like the normal record rep. No, it was a guy that was just around so that Scott Weiland wouldn't run into the streets of wherever he was to try to find drugs. So, yeah, you typically see that in the world of rock and roll and the music industry. But no, you have it in sports here. Robert Williams, because of his first week, his troubled first week of work with the Celtics, now has himself a handler. Good times. Tom in Arizona with a...
You are the man of the people. Never mind Felger and Maz, they give their expertise. but you are the man of the people, so keep that up. But before I get to JBJ, you had a section on Edelman that I think if you figure out the money that he's losing in the first four games, could he spend that on a lawyer to stretch it out for a year and gets found out guilty and say, oh, that's okay, I'm retiring?
Well, I hope not. Learn from Brady. The court thing's not going to work. Just don't draw this out. Just fall on your sword.
He's retired after the year.
Yeah, I guess.
What the hell?
That's just such a bad look at this point. But go ahead.
Yeah, with JBJ, I mean, does anybody have any clue on why he's still there?
Well, he's hitting 200. I mean, he's back up to the 200 threshold now. So I think we got to give him credit for that.
No, I thought he was at 199 after yesterday.
No, 200. But let's not shortchange him. 200.
Yeah, okay. That's But anyway, I mean, and people bitch about that. Oh, he's such a great defender, and he'll save like what, maybe 10 runs a year. How many runs does he give up when he's at bat?
Yeah, the statistics on that, Tom, I don't know. But just a simple question. Why is Jackie Bradley Jr. still on the Red Sox, Jones?
Because they don't know how to properly value him. Like, I don't know. Like, he doesn't need to play every day. He plays every day. I think maybe they would have considered moving him, but I think they have an inflated view of him. Like, they can't properly value him. I've done this spiel a million times, so I don't want to bring Marcus Smart back into it, but like, he's the Marcus Smart of the Red Sox. Like, people just way overrate what he brings to the table defensively. I've been saying this now for a while, and look at the numbers that this guy has in New York. Jackie Bradley Jr. is not better than Aaron Hicks for the Yankees. Like, he's clearly not better than Kiermaier or Pillar defensively. He's not better than Hicks, who has like 16 home runs for the Yankees. Like, he's probably the fifth best center fielder in the division. He's not special. His defense does not outweigh all of the issues that he brings offensively. He's Marcus Smart, just in baseball form.
For all of Twitter's faults, and Lord knows there's many. You should see my timeline sometimes. One of the things I do enjoy the medium. I really do. Especially if I get a couple of drinks in me, or I use what my medical card gets me at night. I like going back and forth with people on there. But truly, one of my favorite things on there, Jones, is when, you know, just randomly people happen to be watching a Rays game and Kevin Kiermaier screws up, because I know how much you value him, and you're right to, because, you know, he actually is a better defender than Jackie Bradley
Jr. Well, you know, he's won a gold glove.
Yeah. But, man, someone screws up and they are on you like flies on poop. Oh, how do you like Kiermaier now, Jones? Jackie Bradley Jr. is better than him. Over and over and over again.
It's like, I'm telling you, he's exactly like Marcus. It's the same argument I have with Marcus Smart people. Well, he's one of the best defenders in the NBA, Jones. Oh, well, then why doesn't he make an all-defensive team? Oh, he's one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball, Jones. Why doesn't he have a gold glove? Why isn't he a finalist? Like, why do Kiermaier and Pillar keep winning if he's better than them? That's strange.
Rick in New Hampshire on Kyrie Irving. You're next here on Philgram Mass. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How are you? Hey, Jones, I'm not calling about Jackie Bradley Jr., but amen on your comments. You're right on. Hey, I just wanted to offer a different perspective on Kyrie going to New York, and I just want you guys to think this through from a branding and PR longevity perspective. He brings Jimmy Butler to New York. They got the unicorn there, and we know how much Maz loves the unicorn, and now they have three all-stars, and they turn that franchise around. That media there, number one media town in the world, they're going to eat him up, and they're going to love him, and he's going to be a star forever.
Rick, I get the draw. Like, you know, it seems like Kyrie seems like a bit of an egomaniac. You have to be when you want to star in your own terrible movie and do the soundtrack to it, too, or at least contribute to that soundtrack. Maybe the draw there is being the savior of the Knicks, which,
and
even
he's
though...
He's from New Jersey.
From New Jersey, and even though they've been a laughingstock for quite some time, they are still one of the crown jewels in the NBA in terms of history and, you know, fan base.
Get to play at
that.
MSG.
But they're owned by an idiot. I don't care if he even had that big three there with Jimmy Butler and Kristaps Porzingis. I brought this up just randomly with Gasper maybe this Saturday or 2 weeks ago. There was that story floating around that James Dolan wanted to sell the Knicks and the New York Rangers. And then I actually got a bit concerned because, say, a conglomerate of, you know, maybe like Diddy and Jay-Z and guys pooled their money, you know, dudes from the world of rap and hip-hop put their money together and those dudes bought the Knicks. Like, then the Knicks become a draw. But that's not happening. James Dolan's not going to sell. He's going to keep him. They're still going to be a laughingstock because he's an idiot. And I don't know why he would want to go there. But because it's not about winning. If you go to the Knicks, it's not about winning.
No. But again, I don't know that winning is what drives him. It might be, but I have a big question about it right now. If he commits to the Celtics, then maybe. I'm not saying the Celtics are the only place he can win, but it's a good chance to win in the next 5 years. If you go to the Knicks or Brooklyn, Brooklyn has two max spaces next offseason. You go to one of them, you don't care about winning. You care about something else.
Marcel in Acton. I think this one's for me. Hello, Marcel.
Hey, Big Jim. I was wondering if you saw that Starbucks got rid of is going to get rid of all their plastic straws along with the one big bag. I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Not thrilled about it, Marcel. I've actually had quite a run just within the last 3 or 4 days of the recycling world laughing in my face. In fact, my hometown of Melrose, where I currently reside as well.
Oh, no.
They, as of July 1st, have made it a law that the plastic bags have been banned. Plastic bags that I use time and again to clean up kitty litter for my old cat Blue. Now I have to go into the paper bags, which I've already used from Shaw's. I understand. Look, this has been forced on them. I don't think that Shaw's wants to have to do this. This isn't anything about them. Love Shaw's. But now I've been given paper bags.
A couple
which have already broke.
Clean up your kitty litter with bags from Shaw's.
The last time I went shopping. Yeah, so they've been banned. And the paper straws are also coming to Melrose. I hate it. And you'll never convince me otherwise. In fact, you know, this is the first time I'm going to talk about this. Because this is the one thing that actually made me kind of feel bad about my hashtag one big bag thing and that I will never recycle. There's some dude from Cambridge that sicked his little kid on me from Cambridge, and he has like a web presence. He has this website. Like, he's one of these like young do-gooders mm-hmm. that's going to clearly change the world and
yep.
is already a better person than I've ever been in my 41 years. And this little kid tweets at me incessantly like,
"You're ruining my planet."
No, like, "Hey, let me have a conversation with you. Like, we can talk about this. I can show you, like, how recycling can really help the planet." And every time, like, it's at the point I'm like, I'm going to have to block this little kid. Because I'm not. Like, I'm using the one big bag. I'm a lazy man. It's about my convenience. I really don't think I'm making that big of a dent in terms of your recycling. And like, I'm not having kids, so I don't worry about that. It's your self-righteousness, you recyclers. That's what it is. You want to feel good about yourself. Is it really making that big of a difference? No, the planet's already screwed. But this little kid, it's such a dirty trick by this dad. Because he even says, like, part of his tweets are, "You know, my dad said he heard you on the radio, man. Like, it kind of breaks." He's used terms like, "It's breaking my heart to hear that you won't recycle and your refusal about
you're
it.
Breaking,
it ain't right.
You're breaking little kids' hearts
Please,
out there,
sir,
Big Jim.
You're killing the planet.
It's below
this
the belt.
This planet is being left for me, sir.
It's below the belt. I'm going to block that kid. I will. That's what it's come to. Because every once in a while now, I'm like, this kid. Ugh. Quickly, maybe the last call of the day here. Bud in Manchester where the Patriots thought. Go ahead, Bud. Bud.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah,
hello,
hi.
Jim. Hi. Hey, you fellow Irishman. How you doing, pal?
Hey.
Good. How are you, sir?
Good, pal. Listen, all I want to do is say you two have been excellent just talking sports.
Oh, thanks,
I've been turning it. I've been, when you two are together, I love it. Felger and Maz in the last few months with Brady have been disgusting. All they're talking about their family. I don't care if they rip
so
Brady apart. I don't care if they rip Brady apart about his play. About what he's doing, but the family stuff is making me sick to my stomach. And Felger on Nantucket last year, he almost flipped out on some guy that said, "Oh Jesus Christ, Felger's on Nantucket." Well, Felger jumped up and down that guy. Well, what's the difference with Brady? He jumps up and down that guy if he does anything wrong. I don't understand. Talk about his football. Talk about him and Belichick. I don't care about that.
Well, on that,
talk about his family.
On that,
sorry,
Bud.
Jim.
On that, Bud. What are your expectations for the team this year? Are you concerned about Edelman missing the first four games?
I think you're right. I think it's probably 11-5. I think it's maybe that they'll go to the conference finals, obviously. But I think Pittsburgh's going to win this year.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, it's funny. I heard Fred and Rich talking about this morning, too. So, look, I've been lucky enough to go to, and I never thought in my life prior to this job I would be able to ever go to one Super Bowl because I just wouldn't be able to afford it. But I've been lucky these last couple of years to go to two. Obviously, me and the rest of the Patriots fans robbed in Minnesota with Bill Belichick's decision this past February. But still, lucky enough to go to two. The one I finally truly want to go to is this year in Atlanta. Lived there. Still have friends there. I was like, this will be great.
Yep.
Pats ain't going. Like, that's just, I don't think they'll be good enough to go because they still have so many holes, especially defensively. But just, you know, for the world to spite me, it'll be the power of that little kid and his do-gooding. Like, the Pats won't go because it would be a city I really do want to go and enjoy the Super Bowl in this beautiful new Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Do you want to? Because all they're going to do is they're just going to rub in how crappy Atlanta is in your face for like two straight weeks. That's all they're going to do.
Well, they're idiots about that, and they couldn't be more wrong. Atlanta.
They're just going to do that for two straight weeks.
Do Atlanta on your own time. Yeah. And like that part I get. No one cares about Atlanta sports. They don't care about Atlanta sports in Atlanta. But the city, in of itself, is a party, and it's fun, and it's wildly underrated. Like, they couldn't be more wrong about that. But the sports part they are. All right, hey, final word coming up next here as we wrap up Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mazz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mazz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mazz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices, great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Absolutely nobody.
Before you get into the sound that you have in the final word here today on Felger and Mazz, I want to remind you again about the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive happening this Saturday, July 14th. And this is more important than usual. I mean, it's always a good thing to go and donate blood. But an emergency blood shortage is prompting the American Red Cross to issue an urgent call for eligible donors of all blood types, especially type O, to give now and to help save lives. So if that is you, type O, and you're not a fan of type O negative, the goth band from the early 90s that had their marginal hit, Black Number One? Black Number One. You're both looking at me like
that. No, you're on this one.
Yeah, you don't remember Peter Steele? Also, he made headlines by appearing in Playgirl at the time. Be that as it may, if you're type O, not negative, the band, type O, we need you at the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive Saturday, July 14th. Does tend to get weird when I end up hosting this show. Donate from 10 a.m. till 3:30 in the afternoon at the Best Western in Woburn. The first 80 donors will also receive a coupon for a free appetizer from Waxy O'Connor's. I've been in there a bunch. The place is great. Walk-ins welcome or schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. Again, that's redcrossblood.org. It's the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive. We'll see you Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. Go ahead, McCarthy. What do we have?
All right, so no Felger today, no Mazz, but we can have them here through the power of radio, you know, theater of the mind, all that. So we've got two best ofs to get to today. First, we love overusing our breaking news sounder here on the program.
True.
Do you think this was worth announcing as breaking news? What do you think, Felger?
If I told you that in the middle of March, you'd say to me, Danny's going to do much more than that. Why are you looking at me that way? We have breaking news.
I hope it's big.
We have Chris Kelly news, Mike. Chris Kelly news, courtesy of Steve Lloyd of TSN Canada, on a one-year deal.
Oh. He's coming back.
Stop. Do you have the dollar figure there?
I do not have the dollar figure. But on a one-year deal, Chris Kelly is on the Ottawa Senators again.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you got me.
I get a number for you.
Oh, but Ottawa, I don't care what it is. Four.
$900,000.
Well, that's the perfect number for him. Perfect number. 1 year, 900. Even if the Bruins had done that, I wouldn't have gone ballistic.
You know what? I'd have taken him for a year and 900. I would.
Spin right around.
Chris Kelly backed out. You got me on that one. Wow.
Woo! That was the point.
Wow. Chris Kelly gets the breaking news sounder. That's the highlight of his career with the Bruins. Who's kidding?
That's just, you just put a smile on my face.
Well, that's what you get, Mike, when you ask for the breaking news sounder. You fire it, and then you ask questions later.
Yep.
And then he'll get mad. That's what you hit it for?
That's what it was for? Yeah, blue check mark. There's a blue check mark there.
Go back to doing the price, boys. Boy.
Yes, Mr. Felger.
What else?
I love how they spin it around. They're like, oh, we would have taken him. Bruins should have gotten him.
Yeah. Come on.
Good deal. Finally, there
what are the Bruins thinking?
Yeah, come on. There are 50 states in these great United States. Now, most of those states totally suck. Let's be totally honest. But so Mazz is right on. Why don't we just like eliminate a few of these, right?
That Skyline Chili you're not wrong about, though.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, they put it on the spaghetti. It's got, like, cinnamon in it, and then they put that pubic-looking cheese or stack on top. It's disgusting.
Ew.
That city's bad. It's an armpit. You're not wrong. Gross.
And it's the way people talked about the chili in Cincinnati, like ahead of time, you'd think you were going to like Florence to get the Alfredo sauce.
It's slop.
You know? And then they serve it to you and you're like, what is this pile of dog food you're giving me? Like you're pouring a bunch of Alpo on some spaghetti and I'm supposed to get excited about it? You got a least favorite American city, Murray?
I'm going to say Jacksonville, Florida. But Jacksonville is hillbillies, a Maxwell House factory, a Hooters, and a half hour to any decent beach. It's terrible. That they have an NFL franchise is mind-blowing.
Listen, to me, as far as I'm concerned, you could take a chainsaw, cut off the whole state of Florida, and let it float out into the Caribbean. I'd be fine with it.
Even Miami?
CLA, I hate Miami.
Oh.
Please. Miami. Southern, the warm weather cities, generally, to me, like Loserville. It is a dump. I hate Miami. I hate LA. I hate Miami. I generally hate the whole state of Texas. Anywhere.
Yeah, LA is pretty bad. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I tell you, when we went out to Phoenix, I developed a rapid distaste for that city, too. Like, it's something about the warm weather cities.
Don't go this time of year.
I've said to you, I would have no issue if they took Connecticut and just cut it out of the six-state region of New England, made it five states.
Yeah.
Because Connecticut's really part of New York, if you ask me. So they can have Connecticut. Just get me one of those biggest chainsaw you can find, and let's surgically remove the entire state of Florida. Cut it right off, and let it float down toward the equator. Fine by me.
I couldn't disagree more about Los Angeles, though. I love L.A.
L.A. blows.
It. Oh, please, you're crazy.
Oh, that city sucks.
As long as you don't try to chase the L.A. scene thing, like...
But that's the whole city.
No, it's not,
the whole city
though.
Is the scene.
It's not. It's not. It's very transient. You can find stuff to do on the cheap. There's good food to be had. Like, there's... L.A.'s actually underrated, if anything. I
L.A.
love L.A.
cheap? I've been to the wrong parts of Los Angeles, I'll tell you that.
Mexican food, go to Koreatown. Like, there's... L.A.'s wildly underrated, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
I thought you were complimenting Jacksonville there for a minute. I was very baffled by that answer.
Miami, though, I've turned on Miami. I won't go back there. And I'll tell you right now, for those of you who have never been, you'll never feel uglier. You go there, you realize, like, I'm not even the same species of these people that are walking around, men, women, like, I'm like, wait, come on. Like, I'm just going to stay inside. I shouldn't be even out seeing these people. Jones, this is a pleasure.
Good times.
When are you on again? Are you back to your normal spot tomorrow?
Back in the cave tomorrow night, yes. We are back at 7 tomorrow night.
All right, Adam Jones, always a pleasure working with you, pal. And he is back tomorrow night at his normal spot here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.